The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Bev MacArthur is also an MP for Western Victoria, representing the Liberal Party on the line. Bev, good morning.
Good morning, Mitch.
Well, thanks for being on the program. First of all, this lockdown situation that we find ourselves in, I was asking Andy Medic, why is it that Victoria as a state is more susceptible to lockdowns than any other state? Why have we had a longer time in lockdown? Your thoughts?
Because we're incompetent at managing any minor outbreaks, let alone a large outbreak. So the first resort of this government is to lock everybody down.
He says that the contact tracing is adequate because they've been able to find the links to all of the cases pretty much so far. Do you think it is adequate, and where is the issue? What's the deficiency?
Well, the deficiency is the way we deal with this virus. And if you only have to look to New South Wales to see how they've managed it. I mean, I don't think they've had a statewide lockdown. They haven't even hardly had a Sydney-wide lockdown. They do it by isolated areas. That way the whole economy is not affected. But they've also had a QR code system since November. We introduced it about a week ago. Like, why can't we get our act together in doing all the things that are needed that others are doing and demonstrating doing it well? I mean, we can't manage hotel quarantine and therefore we stop doing it. I mean, New South Wales are bringing in hundreds of thousands of overseas visitors. They're doing the heavy lifting. We can manage but a few. There's just nothing we seem to get right in this state. And if we're pursuing an elimination strategy, then we're going to be locked down forever. This virus, I don't see it going away anytime soon, and all these variants are a bit like the flu. Really, it's a different flu variation every year, even within a year. So we have to learn to manage it, and we can't destroy the economy, and that means businesses going to the wall. Sole traders, who don't get any support at all, they've got going to the wall. Jobs are lost, but the mental anguish that's caused by locking people down and people not being able to trade and move around safely is extraordinary. Only demonstrated by the fact that now this government wants to hit those businesses that are operating even harder with a $3 billion payroll tax levy to pay for mental health. Now, mental health is the day job of governments. You shouldn't be applying levies just because you can't manage the problem and also manage your budget.
I'm assuming you've seen the new cases for today, 11 new cases, a double-digit increase. Does that mean that we're less likely to come out of lockdown or to have further easing of restrictions in regional Victoria on Thursday?
Well, given this government's track record, you'd probably have to say yes.
Does that new number of increase at 11, does that send alarm bells to you? Does that say that we need to have more restrictions?
No, I don't think it does, Mitch. It means that people are coming forward, thank goodness, and getting tested, and you're identifying them. And we should be told whether all those cases are actually people already in isolation. Because I asked hundreds of thousands of people to isolate. If they're from people that are in isolation, then it shouldn't be an issue. If they've come out of a hotel quarantine or this other system they've got of having people home quarantine from overseas, then we need to know that too. Where has it emerged from? But look, you can't lock down the country and effectively Victoria is a very big part of the national economy, so locking down Victoria affects everybody. Regional and rural Victoria are severely affected, even though they're not in a lockdown. If we can't trade and do business, and we need people from Melbourne and elsewhere actually coming out to the country, especially in the tourism sector, and surely we can do it safely, But no good giving us vouchers if nobody can use them.
What should the government support look like to business and even people like casual workers who have had a pay cut during this time? Because I saw some of your comments generated quite a bit of interest, and you suggested that the federal government should deduct what it pays in support out of Victoria's share of the GST, because you thought that it incentivised Victoria as a state to go into lockdown. So if you were to design a system where people could receive compensation for this lockdown, what would it look like?
Well, it'd look like this. Mitch, there wouldn't be a lockdown. Businesses would be able to trade. The doors could stay open. We're going to have to do that, just as New South Wales does it, because we cannot continue in lockdown. Now, all the money and grants and subsidies in the world are no substitute for a business not being able to sell a product. And in fact, this state assistance, which is has been minuscule, in comparison to the $45 billion that have come from the federal government, three times more than the state governments have given business, is only a stopgap measure. You can't go on subsidising people because of a government decision, which is a poor government decision. That was my point. You can't. If we've had 140 days of lockdown in Victoria, the average for the rest of Australia is six. Now, tell me that is not the way to go. That is ridiculous. And the fact that people are getting very angry about this, and then you have really some very draconian measures, it seems, to try and charge people because they've got a mask on or they won't give their name and address and so on. And this is not how we should operate in this democracy.
If we were to go into a third week of lockdown, would we have to revise some of that support and actually increase it, whether it's from the feds or the state? Because we're now talking about people having no income in a lot of cases for 3 weeks.
Well, the state should come to the party and sort it out. I mean, this state government have been appalling in how they've spent money. We spent $12.3 million on an inquiry to tell us that no one person was responsible for employing private security guards in hotel quarantine, which, as Justice Coates said, resulted in 99.9% of the deaths at that time. We've spent $1.3 billion not to build a road. We're at $40 billion over spending in projects. We're spending $1 million a day to keep hotels operating without one overseas traveller in them for hotel quarantine. This government knows a lot about wasting money, and if all the money they waste was available, it should be available for the businesses that are hurting, and they should lift their game and stop wasting so much money and running the things that they're meant to run properly.
Now, the cost of COVID to the event sector, I see you're part of an inquiry which is investigating that. You're hearing evidence. Is that looking at the whole cost of COVID, or is that really focusing on lockdowns and what the impacts to the economy are?
Yeah, it is focusing on what the cost of lockdowns have been to the events, arts and tourism sector. Now, I mean, it's been quite enlightening, educational, to hear some of the evidence, especially from the events sector, which is not really designated as an industry, sadly, yet the business events sector alone in Victoria brought in $12 billion in income. And
well, if I think... Oh, no, sorry. Go ahead.
Brought in $12 billion in income every year. Victoria was known as the events capital of Australia. We're now the capital of doom and gloom. The business events sector has had zero income since, you know, March of last year when we shut the show down. That's not even the music entertainment events sector. That's just business events. Which are have a very big multiplier effect in the community as well. Now, community events that occur across the country, especially in rural areas, have been completely decimated. And And this is many of these highly skilled technicians in the events industry that we don't even see when we go to events. You know, they set things up and they do lighting and logistics and so on. Either they've had to move into some other form of income, or they've moved into state. Some have even gone overseas because there's no prospect of the industry resuming anytime soon. Because when states apply lockdowns, that means, you know, people can't come from interstate for event, let alone from overseas. But it also means the event industry businesses can't move interstate to run an event. And if they're caught in a lockdown, it's extraordinarily expensive. Now, up until this inquiry, they got basically no support. And you know, that's just a serious blow for Victoria and Australia down the track. It's immediate for them, and it's a real loss to the state. So, you know, there are all a whole lot of hidden consequences of locking down economies. You know, they're probably actually far more serious than the virus itself.
Just last of all, your reaction to the state budget.
Well, it's just a big taxing budget, which this government's really good at taxing, spending and wasting, and lockdown. That's what they're good at. Now, we've applied a $3 billion-plus levy to payroll tax to pay for mental health. How can you possibly apply, and they've increased other payroll tax, increase taxes on business when businesses are going badly? How does that make sense? It's just a big taxing budget that has not delivered in many areas. And I heard Andy mention about the Northern Arc. Of course that should have been funded. What are that bevy of Labor members doing in Geelong who haven't made sure it was funded way before now? Sitting on their hands. I mean, it's outrageous. We've got roads in my area where you're down to 60 in some areas because they're so bad. They just put up a sign that says slow down. Don't fix the road and then say it's a safety reason. No, the best thing you could do would be fix the road, and not with wire rope barriers going down the middle of it. I've got one area where the wire rope barriers have gone down the middle and the sides of the road. There's been 11 accidents since it was set up. It's hopeless. It's a complete waste of money. Spend the money on building proper roads.
Just very quickly on the point about tax increases, Darren Cheeseman on the program said it's only affecting the big end of town. Your reaction to that?
Well, you know, this is typical of sort of Labor apologists wanting to, you know, embark on a class war. When you tax any business, if you tax a business, well, what are they going to do? They'll probably reduce employment. Is that good? It's a tax on workers. It's not a tax on the big end of town. It's a tax on employment. That does not make sense. We need more people working, and we need more people receiving better salaries. If you add a payroll tax, good luck with trying to get an increase in your salary. I mean, that's just nonsensical socialist politics, which in reality just causes problems for the low end of town.
Bev, thanks for being on the program. Talk to you again next month.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Beverly MacArthur with us there, MP for Western Victoria.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.